Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Because of this whole cholera thing, and you know, I didn't realize how close Hammond's Kraal is. Not that I'm trying to make it all about me, but you know that I'm a severe hypochondriac, third generation hypochondriac, and I do worry about this sort of a thing. But 10 people dead from cholera, that is a lot of cholera. It certainly sounds like a significant problem. Professor Anthony Turton, he's a professor at the Center for Environmental Management at the University of the Free State. We've spoken before, and certainly we've spoken about the quality of water. Professor, very good morning. Thanks for joining us. How serious a problem is this?
Good morning to you and the listeners. Let's see what we can do about your third generation hypochondria. Yes, so look, this is all so sadly predictable, isn't it?
We've spoken about this
previously. Funny thing about science is that it's replicable and it's predictable. So we know that the water quality across the board is deteriorating. How long can we expect to be recycling sewage water and drinking water without proper treatment, and they still expect to, you know, not have consequences. So there, that's what it is. It is a big number. The number could potentially still grow. And most of these things are also fairly area specific. And I'm not quite sure in this particular case if it's actually from the reticulated drinking water or if it's from a local borehole or not. This I don't know at this point in time. But nonetheless, all cases like this, where there's loss of life these important matters.
Yeah, Professor, there's just been an update. It's gone up to 12 people now. I mean, that is just so appalling. 12 people as of this morning.
Well, that's 12 unnecessary deaths.
Absolutely.
And for those 12 people that have passed away, they're probably 10 or maybe 100 more for each one, you know, that hasn't passed away. So, you know, it's just simply unacceptable. So let's get back to our rights as South Africans. We have a Bill of Rights. We live in a constitutional democracy where those rights are protected. And there was a time when we used to have world-class water reticulation systems. And guess what? We used to, at one point in time, have one of the best electricity service providers in the world. That's what we used to have. So let's start going back to those things, you know, those good old days. I hate to sound like a funny daddy talking about the good old days.
Yeah.
But I think we as South African citizens deserve something better than we have at the moment. And this water quality thing, unfortunately, is set to deteriorate even further. So this is one of those situations where it's going to get worse before it gets better, simply because of the lag time needed to intervene, assuming we have an appropriate intervention in the immediate short term.
So what do we do? We're living in Johannesburg. We live under the assumption that we're not in Hammond's Kraal, so everything here is fine. Should we be rather drinking bottled water? Should we filter our water? Should we be boiling our water? What is the prudent approach without causing panic, but being sensible, knowing that we do have this deterioration?
Well, I think you've mentioned it all pretty much there. You know, the important thing is let's not cause panic. But you know, we don't want to do that. That's not going to serve anyone's interest.
No.
However, let's also be sensible. It's about common sense, the kind of things that we learned from our grandmothers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wash your hands before having a meal and after going to the bathroom.
Right.
Just sort of, you know, basic personal hygiene. But unfortunately, we've got to also accept, now you mentioned the word assumption, the assumptions that we have had up until now are no longer valid. So the assumption that you will have electricity tomorrow for 24 hours, that is not valid. And the assumption that the water coming out of your tap will always be safe is also no longer valid. So let us be sensible and just take precautions. And the best precaution to take is, you know, if you can afford it, just consider putting some other home filtration system in. These things are available across the market. They're all different kinds and all different costs and qualities. But something to at least treat your own drinking water at home. You know, it's quite a schlep to go and boil water you get some of these systems, these filtration systems. I've seen these hollow fiber systems, a hollow fiber membrane can filter down to 0.01 micron, which is no bacteria can get to that. It's a tiny, tiny little pore size that it filters down to. You simply put it at the end of your tap. It's, you know, it costs you less than R1,000. It's got a, huge amount of issue to get hold of it. So that's something that one can do. And then, of course, separate your drinking water from the rest of the water. If you're going to, if you're going to prepare food, that's important. Use clean water for that. But, other sort of water, for water for bathing and what have you, that's maybe not necessarily has to be the same kind of quality. We obviously want to bathe in good water, but it doesn't have to be, crystal clear drinking quality water to filter out a good bath. So the important thing is to just be aware. And, we are physiologically designed as human beings in a certain way. And let's just sort of quickly go through the way that we are designed.
Mm.
We've got two eyes in front of our head. We've got two nostrils directly below our two eyes. And then we've got a tongue that tastes right below all of that. And that's very, very close to the brain, so the signal goes through very quickly. So the fact that we've got all of those things together tells us if it looks bad, if it smells bad, and if it tastes bad, it is probably bad. That's why all of those things are together.
Simple wisdom. Together. Simple wisdom. How difficult is the cholera bacteria to filter out? I mean, you've mentioned a number of the filtration systems. If you have a reasonable system like that, a filter on your taps, a Bebo machine, you boil your water, any of those, will that do it?
Well, yeah. Okay, so there are a couple of things. The first thing is bacteria. We normally kill bacteria with some other disinfection, so we normally pasteurize it. It's normally temperature. Either raise it to a certain temperature because it's a biological organism and it can't take a certain temperature. That's what pasteurization is. Well, pasteurized milk, for example, is taken to a certain temperature. Or we can use ultraviolet light. UV light is very, very good at denaturing DNA. So that's a very, very good method. Right. And then, of course, we can oxidize it. So we oxidize it with chlorine. But chlorine has got a whole lot of other unintended consequences. If it's toxic to small living organisms, it's also ultimately toxic to big living organisms. So let's not nuke it with too much chlorine, but that is possible. Then on the other hand, we need to understand that every little living creature, if you're a bacteria or whatever, you're still a living creature. And those living creatures have got a certain physical size. So if we can have a filtration system that is capable of going down to that physical size that they can't fit through, then that also works effectively. And that's where those hollow fiber filters come in, because they can go down to 0.1, and there's a certain grade that can go down to 0.01. So in other words, it's very, very small. No bacteria can fit through it, and in fact, in some cases, virus can't fit, because virus is smaller than bacteria. But if you filter it properly, but then you've got to have that hollow fiber system, and it's going to have to go down to at least 0.1. 0.1 or 0.01, that's the better one. No bacteria is physically capable of going through the system, and that will then help you without the use of chemicals and without the use of ultraviolet and that kind of stuff.
So this is, in your view, would this now be our way forward until otherwise notified, until we know that the standard has improved, it is more prudent to make sure that your home and the water that you drink has a filter?
Well, yes. Okay. In keeping with the theme that I mentioned about, just common sense.
Yes,
okay? So common sense tells us that our water and electricity are both pretty much in the same situation. So just as we have to become self-sufficient with electricity, we're also going to have to start becoming self-sufficient with water in some way or other. And now that self-sufficiency can take on a number of forms. And the best is to just separate your drinking water from the rest of your water in your house and use water of different quality for different purposes. So keep maybe a 20-liter can of water, somewhere in the house that's readily available for cooking and for food preparation purposes. And then, separate that from the rest. That's probably the easy way to go. But the other thing now is that we need to start restoring trust in the system.
Absolutely.
We can't have a society in which we don't trust. Trust is a critical ingredient in any stable society. And if I can just say to you now, I just received an invitation from the Minister of Water Affairs to participate in a process happening later on this week. And he's starting to rebuild trust in the water sector and trying to rebuild the technical competence. He's creating certain commissions, you know, et cetera, to look at various aspects of water services provision. So, I want to just at least say that there is some
effort, an attempt to
optimism.
Absolutely.
There's something to suggest that the minister is doing something right now. Let's support him. Let's rather than just bash it.
100%. That is where we leave it. Very, very interesting and very important conversation. Professor Anthony Turton, he is the professor at the Center for Environmental Management at the University of the Free State.